There's seven foundations under construction. That's 2.5 years ago, okay? They're not turning it into actual physical customers for us. They're turning it into aspirations. It's a constant pitch. We want this, we want that, we want the other thing. Give us, give us, give us, okay? But they're not delivering on their promise of creating a world-class village up there. The concept is gorgeous. It's gorgeous, okay? But there's this phenomenon that's taking place now. It's called Mr. Market, okay? Mr. Market's a very capricious animal. He's looking at this development and he's beginning to sort of decide, is this gonna be a success, is this not gonna be a success? And I hope it's a success. I want them to succeed. I honestly gotta do. I'm not just saying that to sort of buff out this presentation. I think it would be great to have a world-class village up there. It's a beautiful concept. But I don't want them to inordinately risk share on a small water and sewer district. We gotta protect ourselves. And the best way to protect ourselves is to get actual physical water out of the ground. We don't have it. We're a water district without water. And let Paul tell you how great our sewer system is. It started on his late nights with the sewer system. That's where I'm coming on this whole thing. And I know you guys, I understand this pro-growth strategy. I understand their needs, okay? I'm in. I'm not a Summit hater, okay? But I'm very distrustful of it from what I've seen over time on how they proceed and how they try and get what they want and who they ask and what they ask for. I think we just got to get the water first, maybe proceed in parallel with the kind of structured conversations that you want to do, but make it clear to them we're not going to sign a will serve letter until we get water coming out of the ground. I mean, that's just a layman's approach, but it's very common sense. We have these legal papers. You can't drink these stupid things. There's a sanitary use for them, certainly, but you can't drink them.
How are we getting the water out? Bob, how are we going to get water out of the ground?
We're going to drill a hole at Kobe, which is a site that we need an easement on, and we have 134 acre feet of water there. We've got a replacement well permit currently. We've got a bond for $1.2 million. We got to pony up $200,000 for the test well, and guess what? We lose on the first roll if it's a dry hole. 200.
By the way, if they don't give you an easement, you can condemn one.
Yeah. They'll give you an easement, Bob. All they're wanting is for a little bit of cooperation.
I don't want to be the crazy guy here.
Telling you right now. And I haven't had an opportunity to stay at your place for a couple weeks. I love the opportunity so you get to know me, so you trust me, so we can bake our toes in the sun together. I'm just wondering how we get water out of the ground.
Let's just get it first. But we have a site that we have water rights at. We have money for it. We have an engineering group, okay? So let that stuff come out of the ground, and we say, all right, we've got 50 gallons, we've got no gallons, we've got 120 gallons. Then we can say, all right, guys, we feel pretty comfortable with worst-case scenarios here. Right now, we got a mountain well, okay? And then here's the other so I hope I've answered that question, but what I'm kind of going
well,
here.
I don't want to slow you down because it sounds like you're rolling really good. But my question to you is, why can't we have something that's the stipulation? Listen, we're in the process of getting wet water. If we get wet water with this flow rate, right, then we can do this and do this
this. Or if you get wet water with this flow
rate. Yeah. Conditions are great, but we saw what happened with the last will serve letter. The conditions, they can be in black and white, but they still can be sort of legally interpreted and cost us money. But that was a great segue into one of my main points, and this is truly closed session, okay? Our neighbors, you were at the meeting when those two guys showed up with the Summit is ISIL signs, okay? There's not a terrific aloha spirit in the community for these guys, okay? They've been viewed as largely kind of aggressive and entitled, okay? And for us to drill a Kobe well, and please help me with this because I know you know you're schooling this more than I am, we're gonna have to construct a mitigation conversation with Wolf Creek Irrigation Company at our well site and mitigate, okay? Right. We've purchased shares from Alita Kobe, don't even get me started on that, okay? And as it turns out that there's active consideration within that water company to modify those shares based on bylaw considerations to make them, quote, non-voting, characterize them only as mitigation shares, non-transferable. They could put any sorts of restrictions after the fact on these shares. They are hell-bent that there not be two wells at the top of that hill, okay? Namely, the Hidden Lake well and Bloomington plus Cobank. In other words, I may have misspoke. They want only one more additional well up there. And Don Barnett and I have been working diligently to establish transparency and that we're going to tell you what we want to do. And we're going to work with you. We're going to have a new collegiality and a new spirit, a new fresh sort of whatever. Cache County, same story. These guys are on the warpath over there about what's been going on over here. They were among the protestants, okay? We've got to mitigate with them currently on our thing. We're mid-stroke on creating a mitigation plan. There's a monitoring plan that we're going to need to work on. There's all these sorts of other things that are just going to go down the toilet, okay, in the court of public opinion if we don't get proven water production before we sign a will serve letter. They're going to go down the toilet, okay, and everybody's going to be high-fiving about how we've done this, and then it's going to go south, south, south. I promise you, James, I'm sitting here.
Trust me, they've been in my office with the other hat. I completely understand that.
Yeah.
But I guess my problem is I don't respond very well to people coming in and threatening me this and that.
I don't blame you.
And either do you, because I know that that's your personality. We have a responsibility. Is Summit in our, are we annexed Summit or not?
They're paying taxes currently in our district.
Majority of it is.
Okay, so at some point they're going to be part of our district, and if they are, we need to represent them. If
absolutely.
Not, then we need to tell them, go get your own district. And then they're going to be up there with their deep pockets drilling whatever well we want.
Carrie and I had this conversation yesterday. The state will come in like the biggest dog you've ever seen. They are so opposed to additional districts up there and orphan districts. Plus, they have to water rights suit.
So my question is, when Summit knocks on the governor's door, because that's where they go every time, they go right to the governor's door. In fact, what they do is they call the governor, and the governor drives up to Summit. And they say, we have $1 billion or $2 billion. We are a national known commodity, and we can't get water up here. Where is the second boot going to drop then? It's going to drop on this district. And so we've got to understand that, yes, we've got some small dogs yipping at us right now. What I'm worried about is them deciding, I'm done with this, and I'm not going to go fill out a piece of paper and take it to the state. I'm just going to go to the governor's office, and I'm going to have the governor fix this problem.
Powder Mountain Water and Sewer District would have water coming out of the ground for its customers and would be able to support phase one through an interlocal agreement if necessary.
Yeah, that's okay. But Bob, what you don't understand is if they're only going to put one more well up there, the fight's going to be who gets that well. And my concern is if we're fighting with Summit to get that well, we're going to the governor's office to get that well. We've got to understand all the players in this.
Okay,
I
pardon my ignorance, and I'll defer to you on this sort of additional play.
Let me go. I don't, Carrie, you're the water guy, and you're the political guy, but this is what I've seen. They started dropping the governor's office a couple days ago on a couple different things unrelated to this. I mean, just like that. We have this problem. We're running this bill, the governor's office, this, the governor's office, that. We're partnering with the University of Utah, all these big things. And I started getting nervous that they're gonna stop playing here eventually and just go do whatever they want to do. And we may be the chihuahua in the Great Dane fight.
And I will admit, Bob, when I talk to you offline, of course, I can trust you can talk. And I brought up the idea, gosh, I maybe it's a better idea for them to just create their own district. And you convinced me, probably for good reason, that that's not a good idea for a lot of reasons.
Yeah. I agree with them, for
this district, for everybody involved here, and I think that's kind of the challenge here is we have to be in a position where we protect ourselves as a district, right?
Right.
We have to do that above all else. That's our statutory and our ethical duty in this particular case. By the same token, I think they have a right to expect that this district is here to serve them.
Yes.
and not to be the party of no, as you would hear in Washington or whatever else.
The Republicans?
Well, that's who it used to be. Now it's the Democrats. But I guess it comes down to me, like, I get everything that you're saying.
I do,
Bob,
too.
And frankly, I get, I think what you're saying as far as this political end is right. And we, again, as the district, we probably had not to make a poor decision because we may have political consequences. Yeah. But that has to all be part of the discussion here and part of the thought process. So to me, how do I get to a place where those are being met? The district is reasonably protected, and we're providing a service to one of our clients who, frankly, will be the biggest client.
They are right now.
Yeah.
They are right now.
Not in hookups.
and how do we do that in an appropriate and measured fashion?
And then mitigate
sense?
Our
and so I totally get the problem that we had with the development agreement. It was huge. It was, I mean, gosh, 2 years? I mean,
and it was a go slow situation that ultimately worked out.
And blood, sweat, and tears, and finally we got to a point. And I also understand that the will serve letter that was signed long before we ever came on the scene was somewhat responsible for, I mean, you know, it was weak enough that there was some responsibility. It was somewhat responsible for some of the challenges we had in getting
to
that.
It continues to surface as something we need to fix in this part.
But by the same token, here's where I think I probably differ from your opinion on this, is that I think we're making too big of a deal over this will serve letter. I think a will serve letter is intended to be somewhat simple. Now, I've used this example with you and others, but when I go out on my farm and I said I wanted to build a house on my farm, I went to Taylor West Weaver Water.
Sorry.
Will you serve me with water? They said, yes, you hand me a share of Hooper irrigation stock and we will serve you with water. They had a one paragraph will serve letter that basically said that. You give us a share of Hooper water, we'll provide you with culinary drinking water. And now, granted, this is much more complex.
Your district actually has water, I'm guessing.
Part of that requirement was that they may have had enough for others, but they required me to bring that in exchange.
Yeah.
Okay. So it wasn't that we're just going to serve you. It is, you give me a share of Hooper irrigation, and I did, and that was painful because it was $20,000, right? And so that I didn't want to give up. And so so what I'm saying is, it seems as though there's a way to get to a will serve letter, even with those terms, for whatever reason, whether it's financing or whatever, that word is important to them. But can't we get to a place where there is a will serve letter that is not so complicated as to become the development agreement?
Sure.
And
my answer is absolutely positively, but I want to see water coming out of the ground first.
Well,
so we can
the will serve letter simply state that not that it's coming out of the ground first, but yes, when you do this, when you bring this water, as I said with Taylor West Weaver, when you hand me a share of Hooper irrigation stock, or when you hand me a share of, or you show me the water, then we will serve you.
That's you're correct 100%, and I agree with you, but I'm telling you, your average person on Main Street, that's not going to play. Okay, it's just not going to play. Okay, and here's the thing that irks me most, okay, if I may. Okay, I've had sort of concerns about style points and this and that and a whole other thing. Summit is all show and no go. Okay, they've got 7 homes under construction in 154 units, and yet they're a $1 billion company, and they've got world class this, and they've got hotels, and they're partners with this, and they're partners with that. Hello, I find that.
But Bob, why is that any of our concern?
Well, it just strikes me that at some point people will realize that.
So people, all the time, I get accused of not wearing the right hat, right?
Okay,
which you may feel at this moment, but. We've got to strip off.
I love this guy.
We got to strip off that hat, right, of concern about that project and whether or not it's viable or not. Because really, that's not as much as we're looking at as are we providing the appropriate terms of conditions to provide services to a to an entity or individual that we are required to provide services, and what stipulations or how do we build this to best protect us to still provide those services.
Okay.
And whether they are going to be successful or not, whether they're a bunch of knuckleheads, whether they're a bunch of spoiled, rotten, rich brats, to us should be irrelevant to that decision making. We need to build and construct whatever contracts that protect us but still deliver services based upon the stipulations we can create. That's what the direction that I think our staff is looking for.
Let's do that.
Okay, then.
Okay, let's do that. Okay, but I will steadfastly oppose the signature of that until I'm sure where our resources are. We can get a test well done in March, Paul tells me.
Okay,
we can get this thing ready for the pen. Okay, if we get a dry hole, we need our heads examined. Relying on conditions, because then we are SOL.
We got the right guy to examine our heads
with a drill, dude.
Isn't it their responsibility?
It is.
If we write it in the Wilson letter that it's their responsibility, not ours, I don't care if we get a dry hole the first time. It's their problem.
We're gonna get pissed. But you guys,
Bob, I get that because I understand. There's nothing that. I mean, you're one of the few guys that's seen us work this thing long enough to know. I think
how many summer emergencies have we had?
Where our hearts
okay.
are.
But I'll this
tell
week.
You, but I'll tell you what, there are a lot of people up there that are never gonna be happy with what we do. They're never gonna. They don't want to because they've got the negative perception as
I know
somewhat deserved. In fact, maybe most
it
of
is
deserved.
Deserved.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that and so that hurts me. I mean, I want to make a decision that plays well publicly. But by the same token, my biggest responsibility, I think, as a trustee to this board is, number one, reasonable risk management, and number two, serving our customer.
Got it.
And so I want to, I mean, I've put it out plain and clear. I would like to move forward with a will serve letter that puts the responsibility on them and then says, if you do this, then we,
okay.
and I'm not stuck on, you know, and not that this is, it's just a difference of opinion, but I'm not stuck on, we have to prove it ahead of time. We just put the responsibility on them.
Okay.
And then we have to be willing to back it up in the end.
Okay. And that's a perspective. I'm telling you, my opinion is we're dead in the water with this mitigation conversation with the Wolfies. Cache County will go crazy. We've got legitimate conversations we need to do to come into compliance with a agreement that Summit entered into through the state engineer without our participation, in which we are a named, uninvolved third party. Okay, Paul, I'll tell you that. And we've got all these other sorts of dynamics, and this is like putting whipped cream on a turd if we do this without getting our ducks in a row before we do it.
I don't even have a response
to
that.
I don't know what to say. It's just the thing that came to me, but I'm telling you,
let me ask you,
if
let
we
me
install
ask you a
this out for a couple months, we're better off. I don't
can
know
I,
how in any other way to say
have
it.
Have they indicated any sort of time frame?
Oh,
like what's
yeah.
there?
Oh, yesterday.
And in all, with
Paul,
all
what
respect,
do you think we should
what?
Do? You're
with
the professional
respect,
here. We're policy guys.
It's always a crisis, right?
Yes.
So let's be honest about that. But
Summit emergencies.
But for 6 months now, or they've been saying, we got to have a will serve letter. And
I wrote down the list of Summit emergencies, just in case you need to see what your caseload's been for. It goes on and on. We need an immediate will serve letter for 12 homes. We're going to start next week. Oh, by the way, you don't have any fire suppression water out there. Why don't we just skirt building department regulations? You saw that one. It's the terrifically entertaining memo of understanding for sewer. Oh, by the way, you're trying to get sewer from guys you're suing for eminent domain. Oh, that was great. That took up a lot of our time. The problem is we get sidetracked on these Summit emergencies and then end up not doing what we need to do as a district.
Can I backtrack?
Yes.
So if we were to wait 2 or 3 months on this and run a dry hole and maybe hit some water, and then say, listen, we have wet water at this point, then inform the Wolfies that we're going to move forward in drilling this, and then this water will be mitigated, and this, so you need the mitigation, but we're also going to provide water to Summit with this agreement. Are they going to be any different at that point than they are if we were to pass something in 20 minutes?
I've seen these guys flip like you wouldn't believe and go psycho at even the slightest hint of
that. And that's kind of what my point is, Bob. Yeah. We can wait. I'm not saying we make a decision.
I'm going to be honest with you. This is our best shot.
Yeah,
is to go there. Don Barnett and I are going to go to a board meeting. We're trying to build trust. Don's done amazing things over on Cache County, stamping out those fires. Okay, so I mean, I think we've got a chance at this, but I think we got no chance if all of a sudden the headline reads, Powder Mountain Water and Sewer Improvement District Board approves a will serve letter for an additional 313 ERCs. By the way, how's the water flowing for you guys up there now?
The development agreement already kind of has some of the protections you're talking about that require Summit to provide everything. But have they discussed at all their plan for bringing in water? Is there any real feasible plan?
Bloomington, that's a great hole, right?
Well, it used to be called Hidden Lake 2, Bloomington.
But again, can't that be part of a will serve letter?
It certainly can.
Sure. That they have to provide this with...
And it kind of like goes... saying protections are kind of already there in the development agreement. Obviously.
So what can we create?
If it's ultimately apparent that there is not going to be water, then what's the point of approving it?
But
maybe there is, so I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
May I play in for a moment here?
100%. I've been waiting for you.
Okay. Well, I've been waiting because
this is amateur hour. Don't worry about the title.
You are the expert.
I was waiting for you to wear out. And then okay, so a myriad of thoughts come to mind, and I think I hearken back on meetings that I've had with Greg sitting across the table from me relative to this particular hot issue. And you know that I initially took a position, no way, no how will you do Bloomington, and of late I have said, go for Bloomington, guys.
Yeah, we've talked about that.
Yeah, develop that. Go ahead. You've got to have a second source. Do it. And in the meantime, parallel to that, we'll do Cobabe, because there's not enough water coming out of Cobabe to satisfy their needs. And you're right, we're still testing out Hidden Lake 1 to see how it's doing or what it will sustain. Go for it. Go for your thing. But Greg said something that just came back to my mind as you guys were talking not even with a smile, just looked at me and said, you know, you're using our water right now because you don't have a source. And we're letting you sell the water that we developed and is intended for our development, our phase one, to sell to your customers, including Bob's home. He mentioned
it's okay.
Resort in their Sky Lodge.
He's there less than 6 months a year. Don't worry about
it. Yeah, no, that's not true. Yeah, my ankle bracelet can be downloaded.
I'm having fun with you, Bob. So at any rate,
there is that dark side while we're looking at this. Number two.
Which I think is extremely important, because if we get in this match between Summit and the district because we're worried about the Wolfies, we could end up being the cockroach and get squashed while the Wolfies end up smiling and happy and Summit ends up with water that could be. And so we've got to just, I am concerned because they are litigious.
I am too.
So this is where I get concerned as the attorney looking and trying to assess risk. And I'm just kind of realizing why I feel so uncomfortable, is I feel like I don't have full information.
Take your shoes off.
Listen to this guy.
It helps you a lot.
I already took my
jacket
off, so I'm getting comfortable. But yeah, I mean, how do I assess risk without understanding what their motivations are and what they're doing? And that's why I feel uncomfortable with, where is this going to be? What are your plans for bringing in water? Why are you needing to do this so quickly when, like you said, you've only built seven
houses?
It's
a package scene.
And so I just... If you want me to tell you legally, yeah, you've got protections worked into the development agreement, and we can work protections into the will serve letter. I just am feeling a little uncomfortable just because I don't know. So maybe there is nothing, and I can't tell you that, oh, this is going to happen, you're going to be sued. And as we all know, you can be sued whether there's grounds or not.
Right.
And you can fight about it whether there's grounds or not, and it just becomes, how much money do you want to spend to get rid of this problem? Yeah. So that's the best assessment I can give you, is that, yes, we can put in some protections, and there are some protections in place already. But it's that unknown of, like, is this, and that's why I'm saying the things about, is this the appropriate time? Just because I think you can make better decisions when you have more facts.
So two more
questions. But if you decide to go forward, That can work too.
Two more quick thoughts and then I'll be done again. I'll let you guys work yourselves down again.
Yeah. Ultimately, it's your decision and not mine, and I'm glad for that.
Yeah. This guy, you should hear him when he's not in public. Good Lord.
Yeah. Number one, as it pertains to I've been on both sides of the fence, as you know, from engineering. I'm half working for a developer and half working for a city. And so I've played both sides. I have not seen and ever been able to say, unless we're well established, and in this particular case, we're on the frontier of districts in terms of where we are. We're in our infancy, you know. We're barely out of diapers. We're not even out of diapers. And our problem is that we need them, the developer, to bring things to the table. We need them to bring a well to the table. We need them to bring money, you know, from more services to the table for us to survive. And I have yet to ever see, in one of these circumstances, a developer not being used to being required to, in terms of bring us wet water. And when you bring us wet water, step two starts. But be able to say that in something that, I don't, you know, what do you call it, will serve, what you want to call it.
We've got
to stipulate what it is we've got to have. And
not the promise or the anticipation, but actual proven.
So tell them what we've got to have, and then say, this is our final and best offer. The problem we've had, all of you, is in the course of all of this stuff that we have generated, there has not been a final and best. There has just been, okay, what do you think? Kind of a thing, at least they view it that way. And so they come back and tell us what they think, and then we're back at the table again, you know.
We could have gotten there at the end of that one meeting, but the changes they made were just beyond more. Well, additional phase, you remember that?
But now you've got the forum where, you haven't got somebody flying off the roof and coming back down again and you wonder where he is. You've got the forum now to be able to say this is what we think.
Let's grow this conversation, develop an appropriately conditioned will serve letter.
We all like the feasibility letter. Would they be okay with that if we called out the will serve letter?
That's interesting you came to that conclusion. I told Paul.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think that will work.
Algae, it would require them to be more specific and actually provide.
Well, I think we can have that built in. I think we do a combination. I think they're looking for something for a specific purpose, and I think you hit on it. I think the purpose is to provide viability for the product that they're trying to sell, which is for investment, which is a concern that you have.
Right.
So I think we have to build something that picks up some of the concerns that you have. I think it has to be a will serve that has more stipulations in it specific to the development agreements. I think we need to have something in it that has stipulations that are specific to the repackaging of water rights in conjunction with properties and selling it. To owners.
If we put that one in, I would feel a whole lot.
Yeah, who may not know there's not wet water yet, right?
But that's my one kind of unaddressed concern is.
And then I think we need to develop something that has timelines in it so that we can have an idea with timelines. But I think we're not going to be able to do that today. And I think when we come back, maybe I will make a motion that will have staff and the chair work on this and get it to a point where it can be signed, adopted, and be sent out.
And I'm willing to participate at the inception and at every stage of that process.
Is that something that everybody's comfortable with?
Well,
I won't say comfortable because we're not voting, but we can go round and round and round. Harvey is this I've got to be at my next scheduled appointment when on time, and he's going to run out of time here quick because he's getting antsy. I can tell his body language.
6 minutes. Like that.
Okay, so. Well, we can do that.
Do we still have
a quorum.
Do we still have Jennifer on the phone?
Jennifer?
Yes, go ahead.
Do we still have a quorum?
Oh, even without. We will, even without.
Okay.
Oh, that's sure. Three.
Okay.
So, okay. That sounds.
Still here.
Hey, did you drift off on us, Pumpkin?
No, I tried. Put it on mute. My phone's not working. It's frozen.
You're like frozen. An harassment suit waiting to happen. You know that, don't you?
Oh, a pumpkin probably is.
Earlier.
I'm sorry, Gord.
I was out.
And
Bob says I have to call you Gord instead of Pumpkin.
And here's the thing. I think what you just described is basically exactly where we ended up at the last meeting. Right? And so I just don't want to get back
we
here a month from now And I do think it's our responsibility to come up with something reasonable that we can agree to.
I agree with that, Carrie.
And so I just, if we're committed to this, to making this happen, doesn't mean that they're going to get everything they want, or we are, but, you know, if we're committed to this, I can go forward with a thought process like
this
that.
This feasibility letter, not to interrupt my friend, but it's such a straightforward procedural framework. And we can attach other sorts of things on it, but how can anybody, developer of any ilk, not expect to have procedural requirements in order to be issued something as important as water? When you look on the scale of things that water districts do, this ranks right up there. The analysis of their capacity and willingness to expand their district with additional customers. We've got to do this right, and that's an incredibly straightforward document, I think, with all the other things that you just mentioned. That's my two cents on it.
Do you know who they're looking at getting financing from?
No idea.
The bank.
But again, even if it's just a perception, I mean, the reality is
I think they applied through Putin's bank.
I think what they feel is that there's no credibility to any investor if they can't. I mean, frankly, I think they think that this district doesn't want to support them or serve them, in additional phases, and I think that they feel like if they, if I'm an investor, I mean a will serve letter is a very basic document that I'm going to say
there's viability
to where you're going,
particularly
so I think it's fair for them to say, gosh, I've got to have something that gives an investor confidence, whoever that is, whether it's, you know, a private equity firm or a bank or whatever, that we're willing to serve, and it doesn't look like we're trying to parse words to the point that we don't trust them. But now, granted, by the same token, we have to not trust everything. We have to verify those things, and we can do that. But I just urge us not to make it harder than it is.
I hear you.
For a will serve letter. Let's just remember, this is a will serve letter and not a development agreement.
Yeah, and we've got a development agreement.
But this is referenced.
Just cross-reference back to that to a large extent.
So,
which it does, but if we could add even just a little bit more on the stuff you were talking about.
Okay.
And well, I think we'll work with staff. The question I would have really quickly before we exit is, everything that you've heard, I mean, you probably worked a little more with them than probably anybody. Are any of these stumbling blocks that we'll create? Because what we had last time is we presented something and then we got all this pushback. Is there a huge stumbling block in some of the things we've talked about? Is it become too intrusive to the point where you think it's a no-go?
Let me make that question easier for you. The letter that came back to you from Summit after the will serve letter that they brought back after the whatever you call it, what was the other term for the other one, the kind of
feasibility
letter.
Yep.
What are your major concerns with that one, or are there any? And if not, is that where do we add from there?
We add with the tearing procedure, honestly.
I love how Bob goes nuclear every time. Let's see.
No! Okay, let me pose that question back to Bob.
Is this nonsense?
Bobby, was it talking to you?
I have said, and Bob knows this is no secret, and maybe Jim does too, that I saw, well, they've taken out one particular bullet on the second page, which refers to the Kobabe well, and I think that's fine. Because, you know, this bullet out, the developer in good faith shall cost sharing arrangement with the district development plan.
They've taken that out.
Yeah.
And that's okay, fine, good, you know. But I think the capacity evaluation, so I felt there was enough in this letter that Brent Rose drafted, that we had enough protection that we could get what we wanted when we need it. In other words, they're not going to go anywhere. The state has to permit anything that goes on, any expansion of the water system. If they don't have a viable water source, it's wet water, it's a no-go. I mean, you know, it's a non-starter. So I, so from just, that, that perspective,
just,
I was fine.
Let's just look at it. Let's, again, I want to get Jim out of here and be respectful of his time. There's a couple, three stipulations I think we want to look at is the plan to provide water. If that's already in there, great. The packaging, repackaging of water rights, protecting the district against people who are coming in expecting to have something and they don't, mm-hmm. right? And then we need a timeline in here somewhere, whatever that timeline is. Okay, is that, are we comfortable then allowing staff and the chair to work
here? Let her get her feet on the ground and get a better feel.
I'll tell you here in a second.
He'll email it to you.
You have four points.
I just have three.
Three.
The 3 points that I came with from talking to Bob was a plan to provide actual water. That may also already be covered in the development agreement. The repackaging of water rights, because the concern we have is that they're going to package these and they're going to sell them, and then people aren't going to realize that they have to actually find water to become developable, right?
That's
they,
a
could
huge,
hide, they could hide there.
Scenario.
And then we need to have some type of timeline in there that will be, help us to be a little more comfortable in perpetuity type of things.
I felt it should be only, it should only be phase two. They had phases, I'm saying.
Additional for all additional phases.
Yeah. We know this on a map. Just to, okay. This isn't like a paint by numbers. You get a pen with so much ink on it, 313, you get to kind of put it wherever you want. We need to see this on a map. Precisely.
That's fair.
So may I make a motion to exit the closed meeting and enter back into our public meeting?
I'll second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Aye. Who do we need to go get? Nobody.
All this.
Open the door.
You know, I'm glad to hear you say that Brent Rose wrote that. For a second, I thought they held you down and were doing sequential waterboarding on you.
No, I was holding my own pretty well against four
for a while.
I was really
holding
my own. You
call reinforcements, dude.
I was doing just fine. I think.